first Sunday, I went to a grocery store yesterday, and it dawned on me, I said to the fellow at the register, I said, not only is tomorrow Super Bowl Sunday, but Monday is Monday Blizzard. So, I was lucky I found some bread, I guess. Why is it that, I mean, why is it all the bread and the milk? I mean, you're like one day, no matter how bad the storm is, you're in for one day, but all the bread and all the milk and everything's gone. Woo, all the eggs are gone, dude. Oh, I got some cold cuts. That was for you, Raj. You should never tell me when you're something you really don't like. Because sometimes, right, when we're picking on people, Roger said he hates that commercial, the Geico one with Icky Woods with the coke, and he gets some cold cuts. And I said he should have never told me that. Because for Christmas next year, he's going to get bologna. No, hallelujah. God is good, amen?
All the time.
All the time?
God is good.
Listen to this psalm. We're going to read together. 33. Hallelujah. Sing joyfully to the Lord. Sing joyfully. The Bible is telling you to do something right there. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him.
Praise the Lord with a harp. Make music to Him on 10-stringed lyre.
Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy.
For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does.
The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love.
By the word of the Lord, with the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of His mouth.
He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses.
Let all the earth hear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him.
Hallelujah. For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Psalm 33. There's a couple of things in there that just gives you a little more idea what God is looking for you to do. And one of them there is sing joyfully to the Lord. Let it go. If you don't feel like singing, then do it as a sacrifice. And say, Lord, I don't really like to sing, but I'm going to do it for You. And it says play skillfully. That means to hone your work and play it skillfully to really work at it. But the one that it sing to Him a new song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there was one I saw and just shout to joy. Shout for God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. There's starry host by breath of His mouth. There's little things in those prayers that help you. Amen? That help you draw closer to who? Not your pastor, but God. Hallelujah. How are you this morning?
Good.
I am excited. But I say that every week because we're going to be talking about God, talking about Jesus. Now the testimony today, hallelujah, the ministries of help, building a church, unity, any two agreeing together, amen? Listen to what it said in Acts. Listen to this one line. It said, they were all with one accord in one place. They weren't all agreeing on everything, but they were all with one accord. What was that one accord? Jesus, amen? They were all with one accord. The church needs to be that way. Our church, in order for it, now we're ready. We're ready for the fire. We're ready to get it. I'm excited about what God is doing, but we need to be in one accord. We're going to talk about that later. So they were all with. Just understand that. Now the ministry of helps, the things the church is growing. We need people. I'm a pastor. I can't do it all. David and Deacon Chuck and Deaconess Marilyn and Deacon Bill, they've been here. They kept the fire burning. She's been playing, John's been playing the piano here, keeping the fire burning, amen? But they can't do it all. They can't build a church, amen? They need you to build the church with them. They need the direction of the church is with the people, amen? The people who have a heart to say, I want to do something. I'm not going to ask, of course, you ask permission, you know what I'm saying, but you see something done. I always say, if you see a piece of paper on the floor, pick it up. Doesn't matter if anybody else sees you or not. God sees you, amen? But the things this past year that we've seen, and I hate picking out people because what happens is you miss somebody. But the work that the people have volunteered to do, the things that they've done from their heart, amen, without anybody else watching, without the pastor standing there, without Dave standing there, well, they did it out of their heart, amen. The church being clean, Brother Jerry coming in and vacuuming, doing the church out of it. Nobody sees what's going on in here, amen. But all of a sudden, now you do that, and it becomes your church, amen. It becomes more than you walk in saying, this is my church. Now, I've asked somebody to do Bible study. I've asked somebody to think about doing a Bible study here, maybe once every other week. We've talked about it I've asked them. Not because I think he's ready. I don't know what ready means, amen? But I can tell you that I asked somebody with a heart of just joy, amen? He's a peaceful spirit, a calm spirit, a loving spirit, amen? And I asked somebody who I knew and I trusted would not go into doctrine. You understand? He wouldn't go into what he thinks. He wouldn't go into what he thinks the church should do. He wouldn't go into thinking, when you're doing a Bible study, what he thinks God is saying. He wouldn't go into doctrine. He would simply have a Bible study with some of you who want to come and just sit for 45 minutes, no music, and let's just come sit down, say, how you doing? Pick a scripture, open it up, read it together, read the word together, fellowship together, amen? Give you another night to come to God, even if it's for 45 minutes, and it would give this person something even greater. It would give him a reason to call this his church. Amen. He would be involved. His hand would be in it so deep that he would understand and the difference of going to a church and disagreeing with something and leaving. He wouldn't understand that disagreements happen. Amen. How many know that disagreements happen? Amen. How many know that we don't know? But just because we got to be in one accord means we have to agree with everything. We're going to get into that. But I'm asking you if you like, because the church is growing. Amen. We almost had a service while we were away, and I said, that's a beautiful thought that we did not have a year ago because it wasn't possible. Amen? So as the church grows, we're going to have ideas. Some are going to work, some aren't going to work, but the ones that aren't going to work, you just throw them away. Maybe someday you'll be able to bring it back again. Amen? But I want to ask, if you want to do something like that, I want you to let us know. I want you to tell me. I want you to come up to me. I said, I don't want you to raise your hand because we used to do things at church. How many people want to win Wednesday night Bible study? Everybody raise their hand. How many want to do a Thursday? Everybody raise their hand. How many want to pray? And then we do it and nobody showed up. And Pastor Larry knew that, not me. The other, he knew. He said, they're not going to. And the other thing that I've always said to my wife, the thing I worry about is you come to a Wednesday night Bible study, say, well, I've had my church, I don't have to go on Sunday. Amen? So I have to try. Now, I'm going to have my hands in this. I, as the pastor, as the head, just like the President of the United States, just like the Pope, I have to have my hand in it. I have to know. We have to talk. Which also, again, is communicating with other people in the church. Amen? This person that I'm asking. That means we have to communicate more, which is a good thing. Amen? We have to talk. But I want him to be able to run it with his heart. I want him to be free to choose something without worrying about, is he going to be doing something wrong? Because I believe, and the one thing again I'll say, I believe that he's not into doctrine. He's into the Bible. Amen? Reading the Bible, having you all come and fellowship with him, maybe go out and have a bite to eat later, maybe not. But it's another step at Second Congregational, amen? So I want you all to come to me honestly and say, maybe every other week, that would be kind of nice. Let's see how it works, or once a month. But I think every other week would be kind of a nice. Pick a day during the week and come. The lights will be on and you can sit and enjoy God, amen? And fellowship and growth. That's how this church is going to become on fire with God, amen? And we could not have done this a year ago, amen? We are growing in that spirit. Hallelujah. That's my testimony. Get involved in the church. Get your hands into the church. Don't just go to church, but God bless you. If you just go to church, bless you. Bless you for going. You go to do Mass or you do the rosary, bless you for that. You go and do the signs of the cross, bless you. Anything we're doing to God, amen, is blessing somebody, amen? Don't worry about what religion people are anymore, who's better. Nobody. In his eyes, no partiality. Are you with me? No partiality. So if you're claiming any, you got to go talk to God about it. But as a church, to grow, I've asked somebody to pray about becoming an elder. As pastors, we need an elder. We have deacons. Deacons are the mainstream. I was a deacon for 12 years, and we were the main. We did the work. We did all the little things, and that's what we did. I've asked one person to be an elder because I know this person knows the Word of God. And I know that the elder is important because when you need prayer, we can't always be reached. So I need somebody, when they call them for prayer, that they get the Word of God. They don't get an opinion, amen? Because when you start giving opinions, you're already off course. And the other thing is, when we get somebody like an elder, you can go and sit down and tell that elder anything you want, and you know that you know that you know that nobody in the church will ever know. Because it's between the elders of the church. The Bible says, "Go when you're sick, go to the elders of the church, and they will pray." Amen? And the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Amen? That's what I'm praying for in this church. Amen? It's our time. It's our time. Whether we grab it or not is up to us. Give God praise and glory. Thank you. We do the testimony now, okay? Greg came to work last night, and he told me something, and I'm not speechless very often. I'm saying, and my bride didn't even look at him. Jackie was sitting in her living room, your bedroom, I'm sorry, and about what time of night?
It was about 1:30 at night.
1:30. Over her head, the bullet went through both walls. She's got pictures. You want to see? She showed me a picture, the hole in the wall. When Greg told me that, I didn't know what. Sometimes I didn't know what to say. I just didn't know what to say, except thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony, her faith. And she came to church today. You know, sometimes you can be so, something like that. I'm not leaving. I'm not going to church. I'm not going anywhere. She came to church today, and I'm glad she did, to give the testimony. Because that's God protected her, amen? And you read about it in the paper. And, you know, you can read about it in the paper as long. But when it happens at home, when it happens to you, all of a sudden, everything else becomes more real. And God becomes real, amen? And that's a testimony. And give God praise and glory, too. Thank you, Lord. Shake off the dust. How's everybody? Good? Who's going to win the game today? The team with the most points will win the game today. I asked somebody last night, can both teams lose? No, they can lose. Praise God. They were all with one accord. With one accord. They were all with one accord. This is Paul. I'm going to read to you now. Stay with me. This is beautiful. You're going to love this. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. The church in Corinthia was maybe the most richest church that Paul ever built. The power, the money, the finances, everything around this city was his greatest church. Amen? One of his just most powerful churches. Yet, in this church, in the church in the Corinthians, there was discourse. There was separation. There was division. Listen to what Paul is saying. And as I read this, I want you to look at Second Congregational, and I want you to feel like Paul is talking to you today. He says, "Now I plead with you, brethren." What does he do? He pleads with, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Amen? He pleads with the church to do this. Now listen to what he says here. And I, brethren, listen to him, and if this doesn't reflect this church, because you all know me. George, you've known me since I was a little boy, so you know this. And Paul is saying, and I could have said the same thing, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ. Except who? And him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, yes I was, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, whose faith? Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, not in me, but in the power of God. Amen? The power. Say that word, power. Power means something, does it not? It means power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is Paul talking to Corinthians, but he could be talking to us this morning. Listen to this. This is our church. You look at this. Listen to this, brothers. This is Second Congregational. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Amen? You have legs, you have arms, you have fingers, you have toes. They're all part of your body. Amen? You have eyes, you have ears. They're all part of your body. You have a nose. Amen? They're all part of your body. Amen? But together they are you. Amen? All of them together. You need them all. And he says, as one body is one and has many members, but all the members are one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. Who? For by one Spirit, how many spirits? We were all baptized into one body. How many bodies? Now listen to what he says. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Look around this church and see the body. Whatever you're thinking, you look around and you see the body. Amen. You might be one person. You might not think that you have enough or you're special, but you realize that when you are just as important and needed. Say that with me. Needed. Hallelujah. You are needed. That's what makes the church what it is. And this is what Paul says. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Say that with me. Individually. What does that mean? One. Love. How many know about love? Let me tell you what you might have missed. Love holds tight. Amen? Love builds up. Love unifies. Love leads. And love does something else. Love understands. And the Bible says, and we'll say it over again, love never fails, Cindy. Love never, say that with me. I love that scripture. Love never fails. A church in one accord. Are you with me? One accord. Now listen to this. You might listen to what God has asked me to tell you. Unity does not, say that with me, does not mean that we all agree on everything. Amen? Unity doesn't mean that we agree on all things. You might be a Republican, you might be a Democrat, you might like butter, you might like spread, you know what I'm saying? Love, unity does not mean that you agree on every single thing. Amen? We go hunting, somebody else says, I don't like hunting. Well, that's fine. You don't have to agree with me there. Amen? You just have to love me. Amen? You have to rise above and love the fact that I love to do that. Are you with me? Unity does not. Does what? Does not mean that we have to agree with everything anyone does. We don't have to agree with any all their actions. And we don't have to agree with all their words. Amen? That's not. In unity, it says with one accord. The unity has to be who? It has to be God. That's the unity. See? Love removes judgment. You understand what I'm saying? Love, when you love somebody, it removes the judgment. Because if you love somebody, you're not going to judge them. Amen? They could do so many things wrong, but you're going to love them. Amen? You're going to try to lift them up. You're not going to judge them because you've got to look in the mirror later and say, what have I done wrong today? Amen? You understand? Hallelujah. Love removes judgment. But here's the kicker. Love is a two-way street. Say that with me. Hallelujah. Love does not give someone else an open door to do, say, or live in a way that would tear down what God, this church, and Jesus is building around us. Amen? Love doesn't give you that. Love doesn't give you that where you can just go and say and do and tear down the walls of our church. You can go out there and act in a way that disgraces God and disgraces the world. And you could talk to people and they could say, that's not God. Why are they? If you're talking like that, then that spirit's not inside of you. I don't want to go there. If they let you talk like that, if they let you go like that, see, that's where love doesn't let you do that. Amen? We've got to pray for people. We've got to lift people up. Amen? Are you with me? We must be in one accord. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ, our Messiah. Not man's laws. Amen? Not man's law. Not traditions. And I'm going to read right now from some of tradition, and I'm going to tell you what you'll see. Not a church. Amen? But faith in who? Come on, you can say it. Faith in Christ. You can say Christ in church. We can say Jesus in church. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you sure? I got more response of who's going to win the game today. Say amen with me, church.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus is saying, Jesus, listen to this, understand. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I just thought if you believed in God and you believed in Jesus, you had salvation. But Jesus is saying something. Now you listen to this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Sounds, well, I thought all you had to do was believe in Jesus. But Jesus is saying, I never knew you. You know why? Did I read that? There was I do this. He said, I do this. And I did this for this person. And I helped this person. Never once humbling yourself before God saying, thank you, Lord. Having the relationship with who? Jesus. Not one time there did that person ever say, I loved you, Lord. He said, I did this. And he did this to be seen. Amen. And he did this to make himself feel good. Amen. He made his pride feel good. Well, did I not prophesy for you, Lord? And did I not cast out demons? And he did it to be seen. Amen. He did it to be seen. He didn't do it so that you would see God. Amen. And Jesus knows your heart. So as we talk more about Jesus and we get closer to salvation and we talk about, because I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying. But you all prayed with me. How many of y'all prayed with me this morning when we prayed? Do you realize that was the prayer of salvation? Because, Miss Dale, there's no prayer of salvation in the Bible. It just says anybody who confesses God, he will confess us to God, to his Father. It's simply that put. There's no regulation, there's no not, and there's no yes. Amen. But the Bible says many times confessing open. So confessing is saying, amen. And you all been to Catholic, you all been to go on to confession, right, Miss Cindy? When you sit in the booth, you have to confess something. You can't just sit there and the priest said, okay, I forgive you. You have to say something, amen? That's confession. So God is saying, when you confess his name. So when you prayed with me this morning, you were taking, now, whether you do it or not, here's the key, is what he's saying right here. Words won't get you into heaven, amen? Coming up in a prayer line won't get you into heaven. But when you're ready and you say, I know I love you, Lord, and I want to come up among my friends and openly confess you, to you. I don't care if anybody else sees me. I don't care if anybody, I want you to hear me. But as you look around and you see that we're in one accord, I want you to get ready because the fire is going to come. The good fire, amen, God's fire, to lift people up, to get them into a place and out of complacency. Are you with me? Now, strength means pulling away because that's tough love. You got some child, you got somebody you know, you got a family member, you got whatever you're praying about, the tough love. That strength means you have to pull away. If they're not listening to you, if they're not leaving, you need sometimes to pull away. That's the strength. And it will become your light to save others. Are you with me? Your strength there will become light to save others because you're not compromising. When you compromise God, you fail. Amen? Because all of a sudden it's you again. But stay with me. It says you become light. In his time, because of your faith in God, you trust in him. Amen? Your strength means that sometimes you have to let go. I have a boy in Arizona. I have to let go because that's what God is telling me. I have to let go. I can't harp on him. I have to let go. But I have to stand on my faith. Amen. So when he calls me and talks to me, it's Jesus I'm telling him about. Amen. And it's Jesus I'm showing it to him. You see, love means I have to be strong in God. Amen. And so when I'm strong in God, then I can be strong for my son. Amen. And I'm not telling you about my son to make you feel bad. I'm just letting you know that we go through, everybody goes through what you're all going through, amen? Whatever it's your family, your friends, your children, it doesn't matter. You got your boss coming against you, love will override that, amen? You go in tomorrow to work and you got a boss, I just can't stand him, but you go to work with love in your heart, how you doing? It's nice to see you. Look, I'm glad to see you today. I'm going to do my best for you today. He's got no recourse but to watch you do it, amen? And as you do it, he's got to stand back and just see, because you're showing him love, amen? You're not looking at him, the person. You're looking at God. Hallelujah. must be strong in God sometimes when you say in the flesh, I don't want to hurt that person. But you have to be strong, because when that person is ready, you have to show them your faith. Amen. You have to show them that. You have to teach them. And here's the part, brothers and sisters. Other people should see God in you through the hardships, through the trials, through the everyday ups and downs. We've been giving counseling to people, and I can tell you that 8 out of 10 times when we counsel people, that's what we're telling them. Everybody has trials. Everybody has troubles. Everybody has tribulation. But they got to see God through it. You got to rise above and say, yeah. Like I said, we lost 5 jobs this week. And I thank God for every day being home with my wife. I thank God that we had food on the table. Amen? I got so much to be thankful for. I don't have time to worry about something else, because God will replace that. Are you with me? How many times in your life... don't raise your hand. Say, how many times in your life have you overcome something? And you think of all the things you thought, I don't know how I'm going to get through. How many times in your life have you overcome on a place that you never thought you can overcome? How many times has God been there for you? How many times has God carried you? How many times has God blessed you? You know, you'd have to sit down and start thinking and start writing down, you see, all through your life, the times that you got blessed by God. George, when you got those 2 deer one day, God was smiling. He was blessing you. All the things, and the fact that we were out in the woods and seeing the sunshine, the blessing you received Friday. Oh my God, Jackie, praise God. Thank you, Lord. You have to use that, amen? You have to use that to show others God. You draw them to God, amen? I could talk to you about God, but when you taste it, like that person I told you about, what the Bible said, when he tastes it, when he starts to get it, he'll understand so much more in a month. He'll understand the ups and downs, and he'll understand that it's just sometimes you got to stay focused on God. I had somebody here at this church tell me a while back, he said, I don't know how you do it, Larry, and I smile. He said, you don't have a lot of people. You got, you know, the people coming, but you do a sermon each week. You work on it. I said, because I love God. This is what I prayed about. This is what I want. And if I have 20 people or 30 people or 60 people, I'm excited to tell you about God, because I want you to have the faith that I have. Amen. I want you to have the strength. I want this church on fire for God, not for me, but for Jesus. Amen. This is my hometown. I want it to shine. Amen. And we know the valley's a tough place. It truly is. Not a religion, not another set of laws, but to Jesus. How many know with God nothing is impossible? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I could stand up here and speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, listen, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love, listen, this is what love is, suffers long. Say that with me. And is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. Say that with me. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Oh my God. Love thinks no evil. How much evil? Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. How many things? Somebody has been injustice to you. Somebody hurt your feelings. Somebody doesn't do what you want them to do. Somebody's not liking you. How many things you have to bear? How many? Believe all things. How many things do you have to believe? And you have to hope all things. How many things? And love endures all things. Love never fails. Say that with me. Love never fails. 13:8. In closing, I will tell you this. Love, listen to me. Love removes self, Miss Patton. Love removes you. It removes true self. It's not about you, amen? All of a sudden, when you say you love somebody or you're loving, it's not about you anymore. You've given that person love. Are you with me? It removes everything against you when you have love in your heart for people. It removes you. It removes you. Love never fails because you don't get in the way of it any longer. Are you with me? Love removes the I. I did this for you. No. You love me. You love me. That's what you did because you loved me. Amen. Love removes all the obstacles. So the people are coming against you. You don't understand, Pastor. People are coming against me. I certainly understand. Do you love them? Yeah, but they no, then love them. Let it go. We talked about it last week. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. That man that passed away, we found out that he was sitting in his living room reading the newspaper. His wife was upstairs. They were getting ready to go to another wake. Friends of theirs had passed away. She came downstairs, walked over to him, and he was sitting with the newspaper, his head down, and he was with Jesus. Amen. In the twinkling of an eye. So let me tell you, the electric bell meant nothing to him. Amen. The people that didn't like him meant nothing to him. And his stresses and his anxieties meant nothing to him. Amen. This is your day to win. Amen. How many want to win today? I want to win today. I don't care who wins the game. I want to win today. So I'll tell you again, true love removes self. It removes you. So when you start to say, my feelings are hurt, say, eh. No, your feelings. You're disappointed? Maybe. You wish you could be different? Sure. We got people who came to this church and left and haven't come back. Am I disappointed? Absolutely. Am I mad at them? Absolutely not. Amen. They're like the lost child when they come back in. They're like the coin that you find. They're like the sheep. The Bible talks about the sheep. The guy had 100 sheep and one of them went away and got lost. The guy went all day long trying to find the lost sheep. Didn't worry about the 99. And when he found the lost sheep, he brought it home and they rejoiced over the lost sheep. So what about the 99? He said he loves them already. Amen. But he rejoiced that he found the lost sheep. Do I get disappointed? You betcha. Some of my ideas don't work. I get disappointed. But not in God. Amen. Amen? Because I know that God has a better plan than I do. And He has a better plan than you do. So let it go. Oh, I didn't say that. Y'all going to be thinking about that song all day long now. Let it go. Love never fails. Let it go. If somebody has done something wrong, you feel like you want to go say something, to confess, to apologize to somebody, apologize to that person. Just say, you know, look, things happened that I'm sorry about. Don't get into deep. Just say, look, things happened that I'm sorry about. How can we do anything we can do? Or can I just, amen? That's how you start building. But this church, I want to see on fire for God, amen? And you need it with love. So you look around and you see your brothers and sisters and say, as it said in the Bible, we need to be with one accord. We need to be with Jesus. Give Him praise and glory, and this church will be on fire. Maestro. Now, how do you do that? One day at a time. How many days at a time? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Love never fails. Love never fails. Remember that you're representing Jesus. Wherever you go, listen to me. Wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever you do, remember, you represent God. You might say a word that you think is okay to say, and you're saying it, but somebody might be sitting at another table, and they hear that word, and they then shut down everything else that you say. Amen? You've got to watch the words. You've got to watch the anger. We all have those moments. But you understand that we're representatives of Jesus. Hallelujah.